Hey, welcome to another edition of Dude Told the Podcast. I'm whispering because I'm on a bus, and you'll be hearing recordings from the bus, and that was because I forgot while I was in the studio to record an intro for this show. On this edition of you can hear the bus, hear that? On this edition of Dude Told the Podcast, I get to interview Steve Baskerville, and I got to sit down and chat with him. Now, as I always do every week, I co-host this show with someone from the Anne Friends podcast. And this week, it's Kimmy.
Hi, I'm Kimmy.
Wait, it's not Kimmy.
Hi, I'm Sam.
Samuel is here. All right, so I got to talk to you. Remember Steve?
Oh, yeah.
He's one half of Back to You.
Yeah.
Is Steve the better half of the team? Because there's Howard Sudbury.
Yes.
Who also worked at Channel 2.
Yes. I think they're both equal parts to the team.
You don't want to make waves while working in the on their show.
Yes.
I'm going to say Steve's the better half. You want to know why?
Why?
Because he's my guest this week.
That's right, he is.
So, and I got to interview him back in 1997.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for the TV show Nude Hippo.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is Nude Hippo, the podcast.
Yeah, it's part two of the interview.
Yeah, this is a continuation. We're picking up where we left off, you know, a couple decades later. So I got to sit down with him at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, and here's that lovely interview.
Stop requested.
The following is a Tony Lasano podcast, an OPI show on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. This is Nude Hippo, the podcast.
My heart is racing so much right now. You have no idea.
Do you remember when I came to Channel 2 to interview you back in, was it the 90s? I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, what I remember more than anything is not that, but the episode we had where I couldn't get in the door, where I get invited to go and be on the show. Yeah. And we were trying to figure, will this time work? Will that time work?
Right.
Will this time work?
Right.
So we figured, okay, between the 6 o'clock show and the 10 o'clock show, right, we'll have an hour window. Okay, great. We'll be there at 8 o'clock. Yeah. Super high. You gave me direction. And before GPS, I'm driving, and I've got the note in one hand and the steering wheel in the other. Make a left here, make a right. And I get there.
Yeah.
And the do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and it's just nothing.
We were in this old Hershey's, where they made the old Henry Bar factory, which was converted into a computer resale place, and on the top floor had a TV
and
studio.
And I remember I had to walk up the stairs on the outside to get to the door.
And there was no one downstairs to bring you in.
No, because the door was locked. But, you know, we figured it out later what happened. I was determined to get in. I almost called the cops. I was trying to get some help from the neighborhood.
I felt so bad.
Bust this door down somehow.
Now, so I'm bringing up the fact that I interviewed you. I can't remember the it was like the 90s.
It was the 90s. Yeah.
And
you don't look any older either.
I disagree.
No, you don't. No, I mean, I don't know how you do it.
You haven't changed. I definitely have.
I'm hoping that I look as good as you look to me.
Okay. I'll give you that. I remember coming to you, and you were just so happy and joyous. And I'm like, that's the Steve I know. And every time I see you, that's the Steve I know. So is there a disgruntled Steve?
Sure.
Are you violent? Have you murdered people?
No, you know, I've had a history of being this way with my... It's just funny. You know, like, my sister was not a smiler.
Yeah.
And I was a kid who smiled, like in the same family, different personalities.
Sure.
But since I was in fifth grade, even about fifth grade, I've been aware of my smile just because it was natural. And then teachers along the way would embarrass me about it. Yeah. And I had one teacher in particular who blew up a picture, like a big, you know, I don't know, a 20 by 24 picture of me, and said, look at this cherubic smile. I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
And showed it to our class.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and entered me in the smile contest because there was a citywide smile contest.
Yeah, yeah.
just always been that way.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing too about when you see someone on TV.
Yeah.
If, and they're on for a long time,
yeah.
Like I was on for over 30 years,
yeah.
You cannot, I mean, you are pretty much you're going to get what you see.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, so when you, if you're going
to
be.
Or whatever you created on TV, you have to fake in real life.
Well, here's the thing. I was warned about that long ago.
Yeah.
You set yourself up to be whatever you are on TV.
Yeah.
When people see you,
yeah.
They expect that person.
Right.
So if you don't feel like it, if you're a person on TV who has created this image of being available and accessible all the time, and I see you at the mall and you don't want to shake my hand,
right?
I'm telling everybody I know.
Right.
And if you don't feel like shaking my hand that day, stay home.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is.
Tom Hanks has said that he can never return a plate of food if it didn't come out right. He always has to be like, oh, everything's great. Everything's nice.
He seems like the ultimate nice guy.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it a lot of that is who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other side, too, if you are creating yourself as this curmudgeonly, grumpy guy, you better be that, too.
Right. Andy Rooney was able to go around all day long whining about stuff.
That's right.
Right.
You know, Walter Jacobson, when you go out, yeah. I would, people would comment on how friendly he was, which was not, you know, ending shows with a perspective and,
right.
and a grimace is not what you don't expect this warmer person when you see him in public. So it works both ways.
Well, Don Rickles was really a nice guy in real life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He was something about him that was likable. There's got to be something.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
It's like when actors talk about finding a humanity in some of the villains they play, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're searching. They're trying to find some redeeming thing.
Yeah.
So it's probably the same
but
way with comedians.
You yourself are a very likable person, and normally likable people are not that memorable, but I think you are very memorable. I think you stand out in a crowd.
Unless I'm standing beside Lester Holt.
Well, explain that.
Or Walter Holt. For years, I spent being good, because Lester had a mustache for a long period of time.
And he was on Channel 2
and
with
on
you.
Channel 2 okay. And on the same newscast, many shows.
Yeah.
And I'd go, we would be interchangeable. Hey, Lester! And you spend 10 minutes convincing the person you're not Lester, I'm Steve. And then you just get to the point where you don't even bother anymore. But when he shaved his mustache, things changed, thankfully. One of us had to do something. Either I had to grow a goatee.
He blinked.
Or a beard. He blinked. Yeah, he blinked.
Well, that means you can never shave if you go to New York.
That's right. That's right. Yes. I didn't thought about that.
Well, you were in New York for a while. You did, from what was it, 84 to 87, you did CBS This Morning?
Yes.
What was that like?
It was, it was not fun.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. You would think so, that's the ultimate goal to be. When I say it wasn't fun, the experience was anxiety-filled. It was a situation with a lot of turnover. Yeah. I can't, when I got there, it was Bill Curtis and Diane Sawyer.
Right.
By the time I left, the anchors were Maria Shriver and Forrest Sawyer.
Yeah.
And in between, a slew of people.
Yeah.
And every day, people worried about losing their jobs. When are they going to end this?
Yeah.
Because the show was doing poorly.
Yeah.
And the cycle they got into added to reasons why people didn't watch when you're changing faces all the time.
Right.
And so a guy who was there 3 years, and I'm like the longest running face there.
Yeah.
How much faith can you put into a show succeeding?
Right.
It was fun to be in New York. It felt glamorous and high profile. But, when you work for a network, you feel very disconnected from the, I would walk down the street in New York and you don't feel like you're part of the community and people don't sort of treat you that way as you would a local anchor or personality that seems more rooted to where you live. You just feel like you're floating.
Yeah.
Because New York's not going to claim you. You're that guy on that show in the morning and people in other towns aren't. And it's just a weird feeling that I had never felt as connected as I did elsewhere.
And then you did Channel 2 for how long?
31 years.
And almost consistently, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never left.
I mean, you lost a 10 p.m. slot for a little bit, like a couple of years. But for the most part, you were always there.
Always there.
What is it like to be at one place for so long? Is it good? Is it bad?
But you know, here's the thing about it. I always think it's like sports in a way. Yeah. I never thought about, you know, from day one, well, I'm going to stay here 30 years.
Right. That was never the plan.
I spent 30 years thinking 2 years, three years at a time. Right. So it was in those increments. Well, I'm here another 2 years. And part of the reason why I was committed to not moving the family around a lot.
Yeah.
Chicago, big time city.
Yeah.
Family liked it here.
Yeah.
I felt good here, like the people I worked with, although I didn't like the circumstances all the time,
because
management comes and goes, and they can be as nutty as anything you'd run into. Mm-hmm. So that makes it uncomfortable and life miserable at times. But for what I was looking for out of this business where people, you know, I know folks who would move, you know, 10 times in 12 years. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to live like that.
Yeah.
Things turned out okay, and I got what I was looking for in that sense.
And you got to go through many different anchor teams, many different sets, many different styles of news.
Yes. And I still think, if I could figure it out, why couldn't these guys managing these places figure out? I think that's what part of the problem.
Yes, the change.
Like in New York, you can't keep changing. You got to have some familiar faces that when I tune in, that's the person that I saw last month. And then, you know, since I've been away from working every day, I'm more of a, you know, I run into folks who are like, hey, see you tonight. And I haven't been there in a year and a half. But I get it. Yeah, I get why they do that. I'm just sort of a viewer now.
Yeah.
There are people on the ABC station or NBC station. I may look at a newscast on ABC.
Yeah.
Tonight, and maybe not necessarily look at that same one until a month later.
Right, right.
And in between, I'm assuming you're still there.
That's what I was going to say. I can name people. I bet you you won't know if they're working or not.
No. And then people get it really twisted. Yeah. I've never worked in the morning at CBS, in Chicago CBS.
Right, right.
And I get very frequently, hey, watch you every morning. I go, unless this dude is in my living room. How's it work? Where is he watching me?
Well, they're taping the news and watching it first thing in the morning.
It's a little frightening. But I understand.
Did you want to become a meteorologist? Was that the goal? I mean, I asked, this is a question I asked a lot of people who do weather. I go, I don't imagine as a kid, you go, I want to be a weather forecaster. But I have had several people go, yes.
I'm sure.
And I've had several people go, no, I didn't. But it was an easy job where I could just leave when it was over. So
mine was accidental.
Yeah.
Never crossed my mind as a career choice.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to be in broadcast. It's sort of the old school entry into the business. John Coughlin, who was an old time weather person, he was doing weather when I got here. He was already a veteran about to retire.
Yeah.
Sort of entered the business this way. Mm-hmm. Harry Volkman, on the other hand, was more science oriented, and his interest in the atmosphere and weather led him to TV.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of those people who got a first job doing radio for kids.
Yeah.
Then I did a morning television show that was a local show and programming where you have, you know, musicians and all sorts of folks on. The morning show host was an anchor at 5 o'clock, and it was Mari Povich.
Yeah.
And my general manager said, "You guys get along so well."
Mm-hmm.
Got to be ways to get you, talking about me, into more of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And he went away scratching his head, and maybe a week or two later came back to me, "Got it, I got it, weather." And I said, "Weather, you got to be kidding." I just hadn't thought of it.
Yeah.
But I was deemed weatherworthy because, and he was telling me what I knew. Look, you talk to people 8 to 88.
Yeah.
You're delivering a message that's news that, in a way, that's comfortable.
Yeah.
And especially in those days, weathermen, the most successful weatherman in Philadelphia, where I started doing weather, was a DJ from the big hit radio station in town.
John Records Landecker.
Well, could have. I'm sure John knows this guy and probably worked with him. Yeah. It was a guy named Jim O'Brien.
Okay.
And Jim O'Brien was a probably, you know, WFIL's biggest personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And went on to be the number one guy in weather for years at the ABC station in Philadelphia. So most of the folks, when I was coming along, were chosen from somewhere else in the broadcasting world because they had related to people. It was all about, you know, and we'll get the science part later. Come in here and because you can talk to people.
Right, right.
So, yeah, in that sense, accidental. And I thought, if I can keep this job doing weather for a year, man, will I be lucky. If I don't embarrass myself and lose this job, and I never thought that it would be 40 years we're talking about.
Now, Warner Saunders was a sports guy.
Yes.
Got transferred over to doing news. Ryan Baker just recently was asked to do a week's worth of newscast as an anchor.
Yes.
If they came up to you and said, we need you to do the news, how would you be okay with that?
Well, you know, I've thought about that and have been offered opportunities like that in the past. I never really, I have always enjoyed being out of the studio more.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to limit opportunities to be out in the field.
Yeah.
And be with people for live shots. And I didn't want to, and I didn't, I just didn't see it as anything for me in particular.
Yeah.
And I was doing, and I was lucky enough that every time approached about it, I was already sort of doing the I had the head role of weather wherever I was and to transfer into news in the morning or something, it just wasn't appealing.
Yeah.
You know, no, I've been, I've had to get up at 3 a.m. before. No, thank you.
That's right.
I'll keep doing the weather. You know. Not that there were many opportunities like that, but no, I just never saw myself as an anchor. Okay. And I think I'd be laughing in the wrong places. Really, a lot of that. Seriously. There's some things that would just be too goofy to say with a straight face.
And, I kind of like that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I just couldn't be too, it's just not my thing.
Okay, well, I have a surprise for you.
Yes.
Coming up next, I have a surprise guest that's going to be joining us.
Yes.
But right now, I want to take a break, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to play the clip from when I interviewed you back in 97.
I know.
That's scary.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Nude Hippo, the podcast. We'll be right back after this. Stick around.
This is Minutia Men with Rick and Dave.
On this week's Minutia Men with Rick and Dave.
Sweaty Viking butts.
Tech-savvy teen.
Don't bring those beer and cigarettes to a funeral.
The worst-hitting Cubs pitcher ever.
Rick's brush with Jay Leno.
And improv hero Brendan Sullivan. All that and unlimited tangents on this week's Minutia Men.
Tony Lasano Podcast and Opie Production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
RadioMisfits.com.
Coming up on the next episode of the Car Guys Report, Informed Automotive, creating a car that Aston Martin never made, plus a true family truckster sells for big money. I'm Mark Vernon. Join me for these stories and more on the Car Guys Report, a Tony Lasano podcast, an Opie production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
A couple decades ago, Steve sat down with me to chat about his career. Here's the audio from June 1998, most of which was never released until now.
This is Chicago.
I'm here with Steve Baskerville, and I just have some simple questions. There seems to be no outlet to profile people who are trying to break into the business, who are very talented. I mean, we see all this stuff from LA and New York, but nothing from here.
If I had a goal of something I'd like to do aside from doing weather, seriously, I think a show where you could get people on who sing or perform or tell jokes or undiscovered talent. I think that's pretty cool and present it in a way that would be fun.
Now, were you under the pressure here at Channel 2 to go by the name of Steve? Because that seems to be the thing in Chicago. You got Steve Deschler, you got Steve Perez-Shill, you got Steve Dahl doing Tom Skilling impersonations. So you went, I have to go by the name of Steve because your real name is again?
Steve?
No.
My real name is Herman.
Right.
And I had to sign the Steve contract to start working here. They give you a long Steve contract, and no matter what your name, Linda McLennan's name is Steve.
Yeah, I read that in Feeder.
Yes, but we call her Linda not to confuse her with all of us around here.
But is there too many Steves during the weather?
No, Steve's a good kind of five-letter word. You know what I mean? No, my first name is Herman, which is, I don't know why I'm whispering that. It's a fine name. It's my father's name, and it's a terrific name to have. But my middle name is Stephen, and not to be confused with him in the neighborhood, you know, my mother always called me Steve. Did you ever have a teacher in school that refused to call you by anything other than what the you know what I mean? Like, the form says Herman, and I'm calling you Herman. And they had to call me Herman because the form said Herman, and we don't go by Steve here. So I have people that I went to school with who only know me as Herman, and in the neighborhood would know me as Steve.
Now, why aren't you on the weather deck? Whatever happened to that? Is that, like, now for storage?
See, suddenly it's turned into 60 minutes now. I can tell. Pretty soon I'm going to be sweating like that. Who is that character that would do that? Martin Short. Did you ever see him sweat like that?
Smoking a cigarette?
Well, me? There's no problem. I'm not. What was the question? Oh, no, no. Why? I just never preferred to do that. I always like to be indoors in the warmth or indoors.
Yeah, it looked like a good idea during the summer.
109 degrees. I don't want to be on the deck. And when it's 50 below, I'd rather be right here.
Did you think stuff like that were gimmicks? I mean, or is there actually a purpose for having, like, weather decks? Or even, like, Jim Tillman's old lightning strike.
I can't remember what that was called. The lightning detector. No, you know, they're always searching for ways to make it look appealing. Because everything now, you know, I swear, this guy didn't stop moving. But it's okay, though. It's all right. You know, people are sitting at home with doing video laps with their remotes, man, and they're just going like boom, 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 boom. So you got to have something that will make them slow down for a while, you know. Hopefully, like me on your show, they will hit this and they'll go, boom, I'm going to stop. I'm going to check this out, right?
Exactly.
We know that.
Do you like the 3D maps that you have here?
Yes, because, you know, people, more and more folks, whether they're young or adults are exposed to computers and computer games, and they're used to being, you know, football games, all the football game of the week, man. You've got terrific graphics on presentations like that. So high tech is something that people are more and more used to seeing, and anything that isn't somewhere within your presentation looking like that looks old-fashioned almost, because it's everywhere now.
Yeah, so you don't really want to go back to the days where you stuck like a sun on the board and it would fall off.
I've thought about that seriously because that's going to seem very new one day real soon. They're going to go, look at that. Wow, did you see that? The guy had a magnet, like, boom, he flipped a magnet. I've never seen that before. So I'm waiting about 5 more years for the generation that we have now to totally be oblivious to that so I can throw that on them. It'll look like something unheard of, brand new.
Now, John Komen, when he was on Channel 5, and he's been, I think, on every station, when he was on Channel 5 for a few months there, he was changing his hair color like every month. Do you remember that? He went to black and then straight blonde.
Yes, I helped him change his hair color one night.
Have you ever thought about doing something like that?
Changing his hair color?
No, changing your hair color.
No, I have a few specks coming in, but I'm still okay, I think. I'm still cool. Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe do like a Rodman thing, you know, put lightning bolts on the side one day, then in the winter, snowflakes. That might not be a bad idea.
Now, there was a time here when Channel 2 went a little bad. It went a little too in your face, a little loud, a little Applegate-ish. You know what I'm talking about.
A little bad. I like the way you said that. It went a little bad.
As a viewer, you were bad. And now you seem like you're, like, exceptional. You're, like, really doing well. And is it frustrating that you guys are doing such a darn good job and you don't seem like you're getting the recognition that you deserve?
Yeah.
I mean, you're even doing that Take Another Look, which is a great campaign, because that's exactly it.
Well, I get, you know, once people decide to leave for whatever reason, I think that's the hardest thing to do is to go wherever they are and grab them and pull them back. If they've made that kind of decision to leave you and just be done with it. So, and it takes a long time. It takes a while for people to sample you enough to realize that you are not whatever it was you appeared to be before. Yeah, it's too bad that's the way it is. But, you know, it keeps you coming in every Friday and hoping that you know, you can turn around. So I don't feel desperate about it. And I don't think we have that feeling around here. We don't have that sense of
Well, yeah, you guys ain't going off the air. It just seems like you really need to get that spotlight on you because you guys are doing a good job. And
that's why I want to have as much exposure as I can. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm with you.
Is it scary to have both Pam Zekman and Carol Marine on your newscast? Because you know, if anything goes wrong, they will go there and dig it out and get it back.
That's why I got a tie on every day. I'm being good.
You're the Navy SEALs of journalism.
Right. I'm not. Look, it didn't start here. I'm covering all sides of my territory, so I'm being good. But they're both terrific. I mean, they're what Chicago journalism's all about, seriously. And to have both of them working here in one place, man, that's great. That's a
And nice it's amazing. Thing. I mean, you got Marianne Childers, who used to be the number one anchor at 10 p.m. You have her now. You have Carol Marine, who is the most prestigious news anchor. She's here now. And you got Lester and Linda. You can't beat that.
Well, we got a lot of good people here. And
I'm waiting for the da-da-da-da-da in the background now.
Da-da-da-da-da.
And you even have that theme back.
So, yeah, trying to come back to things that people know. Maybe that's what, remember when you asked that question about why people go away? Mm-hmm. Maybe because whatever you were offering is something that they don't know or is unfamiliar. Maybe by having faces that they know, even subtle things like music that they know the product when they tune in. So, I mean, all of that helps.
But you need 2 jet copters. That's all I have to say.
Jet copter 1, jet copter 2.
Well, thank you, Steve. I really appreciate it.
All right. No problem. And I'd like to do a little number now off of my new CD. It's called Summer in You. You know what? Oh, we have to go? I can't. I just have one cut. This is only a 2-minute song. I can't do this. Let me do the first few.
Hey, come on. If Jerry Taft sang on his promos, you could sing now.
Right. And now they're giving me the cut, the rap. You would. This is a dynamite CD. You're missing out.
I don't see anyone giving the cut.
Well, you're probably wondering, is there a point? The point to all of this is that there is no point. So I'm signing off for the wonderful, the big fat Nude Hippo show. So long, everybody.
And we're back. Now, that was you and I back from 97, back at Channel 2.
Yes. I was younger and better looking then. I could hear it in my voice.
That's right. That's right. These days, you're doing a podcast. Tell me about this new podcast that you're doing.
It's the oddest thing. You know, I have...
Oh, I know.
You were the one who put the whole idea years ago. Yeah. I don't know, about 3 years, two,
yeah,
3 years.
2017.
Three, yeah. In my head about, hey, did you ever think about a podcast? And I just seriously thought, I said, that's an interesting notion. And then a year went by and I didn't.
Right.
And then thought more of it.
Yeah.
When this guy named Howard Sudbury got excited about it because I mentioned it to him. And he just acted like I had never heard of a podcast.
Well, surprise, I now have Howard is here. Howard, come on in.
Tony, how are you? Steve, we should do a podcast. You know?
What's a podcast?
It's really, that's what you said to me.
Exactly. Remember that?
You said, what's a podcast? Yeah. Even though Tony had mentioned it to you years before.
Things go in one ear and out the other. The thing that Howard and I have talked about really is how it's a different way of communicating for us because sports, weather, newscast, the newscast itself no longer than 30 minutes and people's time is limited within that half hour. Yeah. Just not used to working this way.
Howard, how long did you do sports at Channel 2?
25 years. Yeah.
So both of you were conditioned to keep things tight, focus, on track.
Tell your story walking.
Yeah. Yes. And so how long did you get to do idle chat or toss, crossover chat?
Oh, I'd say 10 seconds at the most.
Limited. And I don't think I ever talked to you on
not
the air.
Not very often.
Well, but unless, no, you know what was funny?
We talk across the anchors.
Yeah, we would talk across the anchors.
Yeah.
And you know what he would, you know what I used to, my attitude was always this. And I used to love it. And he would think, and I never asked you this, but you probably think I did it intentionally sometimes. But I would tell, see, sports always followed weather.
Right.
And when producers would say to me, we're tight, or you know, and I'd say, look, I need 50 seconds to tell this part. Yeah, but we're tight. We're tight. And I'd said, just remember, you always have sports.
To steal the time
yes,
from.
Yeah, you can always
And that
cut.
Was the truth, and that's what they did.
That's so what I never did. Really worried about being, running over with time, because my attitude was, yeah, you always got sports.
Yeah, when you're at the end of the show, you're at the end of the show. It ends whether you're ready or not.
And somehow you have created a bond, a friendship of how many decades together? I mean, because you guys talk on the phone all the time. This podcast has existed for decades. We're just now recording it.
And we talk about nothing, which is what scared me about the idea of doing a podcast. Because I didn't know what material you use and what are we going to talk about. But it's okay. I mean, I think it's okay to talk about nothing. Jerry Seinfeld made it. They made a pretty nice living out of it.
What we don't talk about is generally sports and weather, which is what we spent our life talking about on the air. And that was our career.
We've talked enough about that, right?
We have. So we have other things to talk about, in our opinions.
We sort of have the same interests in pop culture or people that we think might be fun to talk to, or types of people.
I also, just from knowing you guys, have learned that Howard, when you were young, you used to do weather maps, practicing, playing, pretending to be a weather forecaster, and you started off as a weather forecaster as your first chance. Steve, you have a strong interest in sports.
Yes.
You two were doing the wrong job.
We were. We never knew it.
That's the problem. That's the issue. I always thought that sports was, and I think that's another reason why we became so close, because at night I would spend free time in the sports department.
Yeah.
Just watching games, because they had all those monitors back there.
Right.
And I'd sit back and watch Grumpy Howard try to work. And that was funny, too.
And it was because the weather guy never had anything to do after they did the early. That's why I wanted to do the weather.
Have you noticed?
Because it's so easy. It's the easiest job in television news.
I'm going to be honest about what's happening here. Can you tell, though, that, and you talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
I'm more warm and wonderful, seriously, than Howard is. Howard's grumpier, sarcastic, gets quick to not want to be around people, things like that. And I'm not exactly that way. And it's a wonder that we can sit in the same room or be on the phone for any length of time talking to each other.
Because of my sarcasm.
Yeah, or because we're not exactly alike. Maybe that's
But I think that's the companion. I think that's what makes you compatible as friends.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
I have
Because you don't want to talk to yourself.
But let me.
But he does. Now that's a show.
That's right. I have little shows in my living room, standing in my underwear very late at night. Kind of creepy, but they're good shows.
Oh, why don't you post them?
So back to you as a podcast on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. So you guys are doing well.
And getting more and more used to the way podcasts work and enjoying it. It's like having a job without a job.
Yeah.
It's having to be somewhere without not really having to be there.
Right.
And so that adds an element of comfort to it.
And I can see that you're enjoying it.
Yes.
That's the key thing here.
Oh, I love it. So I really love it. And, it was a new frontier for us when we came into it. And not that I was ever worried or nervous, because sitting and talking to Steve and
I was more nervous about
people,
I was really more nervous about it.
You were.
I continued to be.
You were more edgy
about, jumpy about, oh, is it okay? Is it going to be all right? Or how did that?
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that I don't have at all anymore. And I don't think you much.
No, I'm not talking about as we do it. I mean, like leading up to it, like I may hope that things will be okay the day before.
Or, as long as
then,
they send
and then
you,
after it's over, gee, was that good or was that all right?
Yeah, as long as you get an email from me with the what we're going to talk about and all the questions for the guests.
I got another couple.
You even read those, Steve?
Wait a minute, I had them here today.
Did you open
John Landecker. Why did I bring?
You
why
didn't did I look at it?
Pages of asking this and then asking that.
And then when he laughs, you laugh back.
Yeah, please. But I like the effort that he puts into it and humor him. So, but podcast doing a podcast frees you into being able to go in many different places with a guest you may have. Mm-hmm. I've learned that already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why it's nice to have notes and questions that you want. But
sure,
you go off into all sorts of tangents that you didn't think of the day before.
That's right. It's a conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
because you don't know what they're going to say, so that leads to another answer, and that's the art of doing an interview. Yeah. Well, I guess the art of doing an interview is it's not an interview.
Right.
It's a conversation,
exactly.
Like you just said.
And you have to be somewhat fearless about it, too. And, Tony, look, if you're looking at me as if we're running out of time for this, remember, you've always got sports. So you can talk as long as you want. But if we're feeling any pressure to end this, we can do this right now.
Steve Baskerville, Howard Sudbury, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks.
So that was it. That was Steve Baskerville, and alongside Howard Sudbury.
I didn't see that coming.
No one. Who knew? That was a surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, how did we even book that?
They must get it together a lot.
They must. They are real friends, and they have been friends for a long time.
Oh yeah, and it shows.
It does. And so that's it. That's the end of this edition of Nude Hippo the podcast. I have to thank from Man Friends, Kidney Spoons. Samuel Greenberg.
That's right. Check out my podcast on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Shameless plug.
No, you didn't tell them which one. Free Kicks.
Yes, Free Kicks.
Yeah.
Special thanks to executive producer Tony Lasana with opishows.com. Opie is hippo, spelled backward. OPPIHshows.com. Distributed by Ed Silla with Radio Misfits. Great talk radio isn't dead. It just moved to a better place. RadioMisfits.com.
Until next time, from all of us here at Nude Hippo, the podcast, stick around.
Bye.
We're on location.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, subscribe, rate Nude Hippo the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search for Radio Misfits. Be sure to tell a friend about Nude Hippo the podcast, which is available online at radiomisfits.com.
The proceeding was a presentation of Opie Productions. Find our other great shows wherever you find podcasts, including opishows.com. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Opie Productions.
Tony, can you shut up?
Be sure to tune in to Free Kicks with Adam and Rick. Our podcast highlights the best soccer league in the world.
The English Premier League.
We recap the previous week's games.
And preview the upcoming games.
I do it from an American point of view.
And I do it as an authentic Brit, accent and all.
That's authentic, right, Governor?
Not exactly how I say it.
We also talk about the local soccer scene because Adam is the Illinois Youth Director of Coaching. If you love soccer...
Football.
Tune in to Free Kicks. New episodes drop weekly.
On the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
In this episode of And Friends, I'd like to describe it in one word. Chicken.
I'd say that's the most fitting word. We do describe chicken a lot.
Yeah, we talk about chicken a ton.
We go into a lot of other things talking about chicken, and we get hungry, but we also get into our feels, because Tommy, you bring us out with crying.
Yeah, we cry at the end.
Everyone cries.
If you want to listen to us cry, check out And Friends on RadioMisfits.com and Opie Production. Come and join us.
Be our friend.
I'm Howard Sudbury, along with Steve Baskerville, and on the next Back to You, we're going to be joined by Arlington bugler Monica Benson. And Monica, what are you going to tell us? You're going to tell us about some of your experiences?
I am. I'm going to tell you all about my secret life of bugling.
There's a secret life.
Secret life.
Yep. Oh, I can't wait to hear about that. And Steve's going to tell us about his secret life.
Of retirement?
Well, another thing. I don't want to get into it right now.
Back to you with Howard Sudbury and Steve Baskerville.
A Tony Lasano podcast, an Opie show on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Great talk radio isn't dead. It just moved to a better place. RadioMisfits.com.